This message entitled A Higher Kind of Love was delivered to Christ of Rock Bible Church on December 10th, 2023 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 1:26-38.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Father, I want to thank you, dear God, that your word, we know for a fact, is true. And you are calling us, dear God, to, first of all, understand that you have loved us, but second of all, also understand that that love calls us to love you back again. And I do pray, dear God, that we would be willing to hunt the scriptures, dear God, to go through them, Lord, and discover the various things that express that love, even without using the word love. So I want to thank you for that, dear God. We saw it, Lord, with the word hope. We see it now with love. But when we come to the other two themes, they are all through the Christmas story. Hallelujah. So I thank you for that, dear God. And we do pray, Lord, that your mercy and grace just will shine through on this time, dear God, that we will see clearly this higher kind of love, this higher kind of love. Praise the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. There were two youngsters. They were engaged in selling lemonade, and it was on a rather hot summer day on a quiet neighborhood street. Jerry's glasses were the same size as Henry's, but his lemonade was marked 2 glasses for 10 cents, while Henry's sign said 10 cents each. Needless to say, Jerry was having a very brisk business, while poor Henry kind of sat there and nobody was buying his at all. Feeling sorry for Henry, a neighbor stopped by and bought the more expensive lemonade. Henry said to the neighbor, Why is it that your lemonade is double the price of Jerry's lemonade? And they look the same to anybody looking at this. This lemonade doesn't look weaker or stronger or anything like that. And yet Jerry is drastically underselling you. Well, you see, Henry explained, we made our lemonade together this morning, but Jerry was fooling around and accidentally dropped one of his frogs into his batch of lemonade just before we set it up in our booths. And that's why he's having a bargain 2-for-1 sale. Okay. At least somebody was being honest about it, huh? I suppose it's all a matter of honesty. Two for one, all because of a frog. Normally, we would, as I've mentioned all along, but I want to be real clear about it, normally we would just follow these themes through one by one, you know. And the book takes takes hope and then peace and then love and then joy. But I wanted to put the two that aren't in the Christmas story together, and then we'll take the other two towards the end of the Christmas season, the peace and the joy, and they are all through the various parts of the Christmas story. So that's why. So if you're wondering and you're reading along through the rest of the devotionals here, or especially for this week, and you're finding we're not talking about love, but we're talking about peace, the two are vitally connected because it's love that produces peace. Amen? And it's a peace that passes all understanding that's only possible because of the love of God. They're vitally connected. Praise God. All right, so last week we looked at hope, and 2 weeks ago we looked at the very first use of the word hope, which was in the book of Ruth, as it turns out. like I said, this week would normally be peace, but we're going to be delving into love to keep those two things together. All right, so, and then peace and joy will come after that. All right, and peace and joy, that's exactly it. Once you experience the love of God, the peace and joy do come after that. So really, you can see where that's all headed. All right, so anyway, first we're going to take a look at the two that aren't there, which are, you know, hope and now love, and then we're going to take a look at the two that are there, namely peace and joy. And that'll come next week and the week after that. Okay. Love. It's, you would think it'd just be normally in the Christmas story because you think of Christmas and you think of God loving us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All right. You would just think it would be there. And I guess what I'm suggesting is, I wonder maybe if this isn't on purpose. You know, if God hasn't purposely kept that out of the picture for now, you know, that the word love, L-O-V-E, would not be in the typical story of God's love, which is namely Christmas itself. And I have a feeling if it is on purpose, it's to get us to look at the other words that might be involved in the story and see how they express that very same expression of caring and concern that comes from God, namely love, okay? So that's why I said when you're listening to Jim read this through, be watching, just be thinking about words that just might fit the bill, supposedly, on that. So where does this all start? Well, it turns out in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Named Nazareth. Now, the word Nazareth, by definition, means to be separate. Okay? To be consecrated. To be set apart. And another part of the definition is to be unpruned. Okay? Unpruned. Turns out that the word Nazareth appears in the New Testament 29 times, I believe, 29 times in the New Testament, but zippo in the Old Testament. Not at all. Not even mentioned. Not even alluded to. Which might be an indication that it didn't exist back in Old Testament times. I mean, you would think it would come up. You know? I mean, you would think maybe you'd see it someplace. All right? So some commentators suggest that it didn't even exist way back then. And maybe it didn't. But we do know some places since then where it pops up, so to speak. Turns out in the year 1517, one of the famous years of the Protestant Reformation, 1517, the Turks, namely the Islamics, okay, Arabians, okay, maybe it'd be a better way to put that, the Turks drove out the Christians out of this town called Nazareth. It existed by this time. This is way past Old Testament times. We're into, you know, just 400 or 500 years ago, okay? And the Arabians drove the Christians out. And then in the next century, in 1620, the very year of the first Thanksgiving at Plymouth Rock here in this country, the monks rebuilt the city after it had been destroyed. And in 1799, Napoleon and his armies camped there. I don't know about anything else, but they camped there. And this recognition, or this, what's the word for it, I guess, a recognizing that this city is going to be something, it's going to be brought up, it's going to be mentioned, that starts to get a You start to get a picture of that when you hear about all these other times and centuries and cultures and how Nazareth was involved in all of that, okay? But it all started back a number of years ago, quite a few years ago, in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Named Nazareth. Okay, so this angel, Gabriel, visits Nazareth, and in particular visits this young woman named Mary. Look at verses 27 and following. To a virgin, makes it clear, she was a virgin, espoused to a man. It's more than an engagement, it's an actual pre-wedding, so to speak. It's more serious than an engagement. Because people will go ahead and get engaged and then you find out, you know, they broke it off or they decided against it or whatever. No, this is more serious than that. To be espoused to a man, this is like the first stage of a Jewish wedding, okay? Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So he was in the line of King David, all right? And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, it's real clear. It doesn't say that she was a young woman of marriageable age. That's what some people like to say. That's what a virgin is. It doesn't mean she's literally a virgin. It means that she's, you know, she's a young woman of marriageable age. No, that's not true. The Bible says virgin, okay? And the virgin's name was Mary. And literally, the word virgin means to be pure, to not be involved in a relationship. Okay? I mean, not technically married and all of that. Okay? Not just marriageable, but involved in the opening stages of this marriage. And then in verse 28, it says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Let's wrap it up. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, didn't quite get it, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This past week, we put another quote in the paper. I hope I can come up with it quickly here. Let's try this. I think it's this one here. Ah, there we go. A.W. Tozer. We put this quote in the paper this past week. A.W. Tozer once wrote, "A higher kind of love is the love of excellence. This love is awakened by consideration of God's glorious being and has in it a strong element of admiration. God's love is, like himself, unchanging and eternal." Now listen carefully. "But it touches only those who touch the Son." S-O-N. It touches only those who touch the Son. There's no love from God apart from that. This is a higher kind of love, an excellent love that comes to his own people. The soul that rejects the Son by a final, irrevocable act forfeits forever the love of the Father. We dare not take Jesus for granted. His love alone should keep the flame of our gratitude at a white hot heat until the day when we shall be presented to the Father with exceeding joy. God's love, like himself, unchanging, eternal, but it touches only those who touch the Son. You know, there are a lot of people that talk rather, I don't know what the word for it would be, kind of flippantly, about the love of God. But God's calling for a people to love him. Now, he first loved, but then he's calling the rest of us to love in the light of that love. Praise the Lord. That's what he's talking about. It's a higher kind of love. It's not just, boy, I love chocolate, or boy, I love this, or I love that, or even about people. You know, I love him or I love her. It's much bigger than that. It's a higher kind of love. Look at verse 28 for just a second. Go back up to verse 28. "And the angel came in unto her," now watch, "and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." That's that higher kind of love, okay, that touches the Son, S-O-N. It's not the Son, you know, it's S-O-N, it's Jesus. You touch Jesus, and there's a higher level of love that comes through God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Highly favored, it says here. I think that's one of those places. I think this is one of the places where God chose not to use the word love, but to use something that expresses this greater love. All right? He doesn't use the word love, but it speaks of it. It's a divine favor. That's what I'm talking definition, but now I'm not making it up. This is definition. Divine favor, something that is approved by God. And praise God, we're also told here that she is blessed among other women. This blessed is the Greek word eulogia. And from that word, we get the word eulogy, which is what? Nice words spoken at a funeral. You know, somebody that's going to go ahead and go through the person's life and talk about they did this and they did that. And usually it's that kind of thing. Good words, nice words, kind words about the person. That's eulogia. It comes from the idea of being good words or caring words. Okay? Eulogia. Well, she's blessed among women, and that eulogia is what the word blessing comes from. To be spoken well of and to be spiritually prospering. Okay? Praise God. Spiritually prospering. God found other things he could say that expresses his love without using the word love. And I guess what I'm suggesting is I think it's kind of good, kind of neat, kind of cool that, you know, God would go ahead and take the time to talk about it in different ways instead of just throwing out the, you know, the love bomb, you know, love this and love that, because that means so many different things to so many people. This doesn't. This is divine favor. This is eulogia. This is God's heart, God's love, but not just what people think of when they say the word love. Okay? It's reserved for those who touch the Son. Okay? Don't take Jesus for granted. Don't take Jesus for granted. When it does touch, and turns your gratitude into something else, it turns it into something, as Tozer said, white hot. White hot. Just hotter than hot. Okay? That's how strong God's love is for you. But not because you're so lovable. Not because you've done such great things. And God, you know, wants to reward you. You know, so he gives you this searing hot love that comes from his heart. No, it's because God is love. It's who he is. All right? You know you've been touched. Look at verses 34 and following. I want to put this all together. You ready? Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she's not saying it can't happen. She's just saying this doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, and Mary is not going to be one to operate on full sense mode. Okay? She wants to know how God is going to do this thing. She is not saying that he's not going to do this thing. She's just saying, I'd like to know, have a little bit more detail about how you're going to do this, God. Because if I'm not together with some guy, how is this ever going to happen? And the angel, now watch this. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And the power of the highest, shall overshadow thee. Wow. Overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee, that Christ, okay, that Jesus that's going to come out of me, he shall be called the Son of God. See, and I've said this before, but you might as well hear it again. And because you're going to have people say, well, I don't believe she was a virgin. That's ridiculous. No, she had to be a virgin. Virgin. If she was not a virgin, then Jesus is not the Son of God. Because then it's just Joseph and Mary who had a kid. That doesn't make him the Son of God. But the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. All right? Overshadowed her, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, now watch, just to show you God's in control here, your cousin, And turns out your elderly cousin, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son. So this has already started, Mary. You know, you're asking how this is going to be. I'm already started it. I've already begun it. Okay? Elizabeth's already conceived. In her old age, it says here, in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. That's what she was labeled, barren, because she didn't have any kids yet, and she's elderly. And then in verse 37, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, referring to herself now, here I am, the handmaid of the Lord, the female slave of the Lord. That's what that means. And what does a slave do? A slave does whatever the master says. Okay? So she's the handmaid of the Lord, and she's going to be obedient to whatever God wants. And if that's what he wants to do, that's what we're going to do. I'm in it 100%. I don't fully understand everything, but I know that God is God. Okay? Be it unto me according to thy word. And that's when the angel split. That's when the angel took off. That's when the angel departed from her. Why? He didn't need to be there any longer. It was a done deal. She had already said, I'm in this thing. Whatever you want, God, be it unto me according to your word. Let's get going on this thing. The angel wasn't needed any longer. Praise God. Divine power. That's what this overshadowing is. Divine power. You know, they advertise some, I suppose it's an Indian thing. It's down in Pittsburgh, Benenham Center or something, and people are running around and jumping up in the air. They got flowing outfits on and everything. And I think what it's called is divine inspiration. And I'm thinking, God's not in that. God's in this. This was divinely inspired. All right? You know, overshadow thee. Therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Divine power, okay, and influence is going to rest upon her. Now, I know, of course, this, everybody knows, this is the Christmas season, but there's also another season called Easter. And Easter is the season where we usually think about resurrection. It's usually the two things that go together. But the fact of Jesus' victory over death applies to every day. It applies to every season, every moment of our lives. The truth that Jesus Christ was born, was died, was raised from the dead and lives forever is not just destiny changing, it is life changing. Let me be clear about that. There's a difference between your destiny being changed and your life being changed. Destiny has to do with destination. Through Jesus, your destiny is changed. Okay? Your destination, where you're going to end up, okay, is what it's talking about, okay? But that's not the same thing as life changing. Life changing is now. Life changing is in this moment. Life changing is in this segment of time. Just as we said earlier, you know, every season, every day, every moment of our lives is what the resurrection, grabs a hold of, okay? Because of his resurrection, we too live and shall live forever. Okay? And my point is, it's not just where you end up. It's not just a destination, but it's every day of getting there. It's every moment of getting there. That's called your life. Okay? So it's life changing. You're going to be a different person. You get that? Everybody see that? It's not the same thing as destiny. Destiny is talking about your destination. That's one thing. You get to this point. But how do you get to this point? You get to that point by this moment and this moment and this moment and this moment and all the way through your life. Praise God. Pastor tells a story of when his oldest granddaughter, Lee Beth, was only 3 years old. She was watching a Christmas drama that brought her face to face with the death of Jesus for perhaps the first time that she could remember, I suppose. Now, you would think those two things wouldn't go together, but they do, because Jesus was born to die. Okay? But in that Christmas drama, Jesus' death was depicted. I think that's interesting. I think that's, you know, we do that. I mean, don't you feel it? You get to Christmas Eve, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's all part of the end of Jesus' ministry and the end of Jesus' life. And, you know, the bread, the juice, and so forth, you know, at Christmas. In fact, pastors will sometimes say, you know, well, what do you do that for? Why do you have communion at Christmas? Because it's all one story, people. It's all one story. And it all fits together. You can't just get to a destiny without going through the moments of life to get to that destiny. Everybody see that? All right? In this drama that she was watching, I don't know, was it a play? Was it on TV? I don't know. It doesn't say. As they began to drive the nails into his hands and feet, her little body would jump with every blow of the hammer. You know what I mean? You know? And her body would just shake. Every you know, bang, bang, bang. You know? Every blow of the hammer. They're hammering Jesus, she would say. They're hammering Jesus. All through the rest of the day, she said it over and over and over again. She couldn't get it out of her mind. She told her mother, Mama, they hammered Jesus. Mama, they hammered Jesus. They hammered Jesus. And this pastor's wife, the mother of this child, said, I know, Lee Beth, but the good news is that he's alive. She was still stung by the picture, though, the picture of his death and hearing the nails, you know, and her body would just twitch every time that went shaking through her. They hammered him. They hammered Jesus, Mama. And Lisa, his wife, would patiently say, yes, they did, Lee Beth, they did. And he's alive. That night, when her daddy, the pastor, came in to hear her bedtime prayers, she said, Daddy, did you know they hammered Jesus? He said, I know, Lee Beth. Then she thought for a moment. She said, but Daddy, the good news is he's alive. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because Jesus still loves us. Even after the hammering. Even through the hammering. But even after it. With a higher kind of love. a divine power that overshadows, or here's that highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. There's a sense in which they even speak more deeply than the word love does, I think. In a sense, Jesus still loves us with a higher kind of love, a love that brings a peace that passes all understanding. It's the love, in a sense, that produces the peace, and yet it's also the peace that helps you see and understand the love. Do you see how you could... It's interchangeable. Glory be to God. It's a higher kind of love, Tozer called it. A higher kind of love. And it's reserved for all those who will touch the Son. I mean, I say reserved, but whosoever, the Bible says. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever should perish would not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory be to God. They're hammering Jesus, Mama. They're hammering Jesus. Yeah, honey. It's a higher kind of love than we usually think about. But that's how much your God loves you. Praise the name of Jesus. Do you see how maybe it's even important that we don't have the word love in here, in this story? I guess that's what I'm saying. I think that's maybe why God did it that way. He wants you to get it out of the other things he has to say. Highly favored, blessed, overshadowed. Praise the name of Jesus. It's a higher kind of love. Glory be to God. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this higher kind of love. It's bigger. It's deeper than we normally think about, just when we think about the word love. And yet, it is a definition, so to speak, of that love that can only come from God to the people who are willing to touch his Son. So I want to thank you, dear God, for that today. I mean, here we have it. Here's actually part of the Christmas story. And it's filled with all of this other rendition, so to speak. A deeper knowing and a deeper hearing, a deeper feeling of the word love. That comes from being hammered. That's the love, that's the mercy, that's the grace of God, that Jesus was hammered for us. Not just so that he could die, but so that he could live again. And we do thank you, Lord. You are merciful and gracious and caring. Oh, beyond what we normally think love is. And we thank you for it, dear God, because your love is a great love. And because you love us greatly, we can love you back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We look to you. We find our strength in you. We find our direction in you. And you, dear God, are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.